Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Duggan, your host, as we take our usual break here in the program to talk with our astronomical and astrological assignment editor, Beth McDonald, who is not only at BethMcDonaldConsulting.com and 963-0842, but also on Facebook at Beth McDonald Consulting. And I'm just out of curiosity, again, another one of these little sidebars. Do you do much in the way of tweeting? I know that a lot of people, it's a big deal and everything, but do you find that less effective than, say, the Facebook?
I am just wrapping my head around Facebook, and I'm assuming at some point I will graduate to tweeting, but I am not there yet. I am just not there yet. I've got a blog. I've got astrological, you know, bits like this and columns in different places, and I'm trying to keep up with what I know how to do. I'm not ready to take on something else yet.
Well, I congratulate you because I am a Facebook and Twitter dropout. But
it happens.
Yes,
it happens. It's a lot. Yeah. It can become your life.
I mean, I do have a full-time job, ladies and gentlemen.
Right. I have a life.
Taurus, we are in Taurus. We just transitioned. And in addition to Taurus and its attributes, we are also fast approaching a rather interesting date in the calendar that has to do with the equinoxes, the solstices. I think that's the proper plural pronunciation. But let's talk about the attributes of Taurus.
Okay, now Taurus is quite different from Aries. They say each sign is in some ways a response to the sign that came before it. Aries is very self-oriented, very solo, very lone wolf. Taurus is very relational. Aries is the divine male archetype. Taurus is the divine female archetype. Aries is very much about movement and achievement, and Taurus is very much about be here now. It's very much about the moment and creating beauty and harmony in the moment. And Aries is very impulsive. Taurus is very steadfast, and they kind of just plod along. It's a very interesting sign. I love the shift from Aries to Taurus. It's kind of like coming in for a landing sometimes in some ways.
Well, I've talked about this before when we've talked about different signs and the symbol of the bull and the various attributes therein, in addition, obviously, to the horns and the aspect of the charging bull as we see in the arenas with the matadors and all that kind of stuff. I think those are interesting things to take a look at because those help us to maybe better identify the personality traits.
Yes. Yeah. And just kind of characterize and quantify.
Yeah. And so Taurus goes from, can you give us generally from what date to what date?
Well, Taurus is generally from around the 19th, 20th, 21st of April to about the 19th, 20th, 21st or so of May. This year, the sun moves into Taurus, again, according to the Western calendar, on Friday the 19th.
Okay.
And at 3:03 p.m. Pacific time.
All right. So we are in the midst of it right now, or just early part. And, of course, as you talked last week, we've just started out of the station, or we've just turned the heat up on the tea kettle, and it's just starting to warm up.
Yeah. And so, again, there's kind of a shift. A lot of people may notice, especially if you have a lot of Aries or Taurus in your natal chart, mm-hmm. you may begin to feel a shift from from there being a focus on your more personal issues and projects and stuff like that to having to focus more on the things that you share with others, the things where you are collaborating, mm. the aspects of your life where you really have to work with others to achieve your goals. And we really see that in our lives. As we move towards May, we have Mother's Day.
Right.
We have the graduation period.
Yeah.
You know, where we're kind of coming together more as families. There's Mother's Day. There's all these graduations. We're moving into summer, towards summer. And so we are, our focus does change a little bit.
And it's interesting, as you say that, the first thought that came to my mind was, yeah, and we're hurtling right towards harvest again. I mean, it's like, my God, we were just there. We were just talking about that in terms of the signs in the fall. And it's like the cycles, they're going around faster and faster.
That wheel spins awful fast,
yeah,
doesn't it?
It's getting fast. And better hang on, because the centrifugal force will spin you out there somewhere. Speaking of spinning, we have these events that we celebrate, especially here on the Central Coast. Winter solstice, of course, is usually Christmas, you know, because that's the closest holiday. But summer solstice on the 21st, or sometimes it's the 20th or 22nd, just kind of depends upon where things are based upon our calendar. We also have the equinox, the autumnal, which is autumn, and the vernal, which we just celebrated. But there are spaces between those four that I wanted to talk a little bit about, and their relationship to the signs of the zodiac, or just in terms of our own day-to-day happenings.
Yes, this is where it all gets kind of excited for me, and I love how all this plays out through history. The first people started trying to make sense of their world, and the first kind of astronomical things we have in history are markers for what became known as the quarter days, the solstices and the equinoxes, the astronomical markers that divide our year into quarters, and our harvest cycle into quarters. And then later, there evolved what became known as the cross-quarter days, the markers that are 6 weeks in between, the exact midpoint between each solstice and each equinox. And this year, there's always one in Taurus, and this year, it's a particularly powerful one. The one between the vernal equinox and the summer solstice is called, by the ancient Celts, Beltane. And this year, the lunar Beltane is massive. It happens on Thursday, the 25th. And there is also our first eclipse of the spring. It happens also on the 25th, when the full moon is in Scorpio, the sun is in Taurus, and there's a partial lunar eclipse that day at 1:08 p.m. And according to what I've got in front of me here, it says that this one will be visible over Europe, Asia, Africa, and Australia. It doesn't look like we're going to be able to see much of it here.
And, of course, the beauty of the Internet is, of course, we will, only vicariously through the telescopes from those parts of the world.
And thank you, NASA.
And NASA, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes, absolutely. And their big lasso that they're going to be using to capture. Actually, I heard the description of this asteroid lassoing endeavor that they're thinking about doing is not so much a big long rope of sorts as more a vehicle that will travel out and actually surround it with this big balloon or what have you, and then it will inflate to capture it, and then it'll redirect the rockets to bring it back towards. And I'm sitting here going, why? I mean, I certainly can appreciate the scientific endeavors, but it's just like, okay, enough of that. We have Beth McDonald at BethMcDonaldConsulting.com. We have Beth McDonald Consulting on Facebook, and 963-0842 if folks want to get more information about, again, these are called the cross quarter days. So now the year is divided up into eighths.
Yes.
And I would venture it probably gets divided up a little bit further, and we can talk about that on another program.
Right. Good call.
Beth McDonald Consulting, thank you so much, Beth, for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Richard.
I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, a new paradigms for a new world. Stay tuned.